Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast, where our mission is to help hosts share their space and live their dream. This episode is sponsored by our free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Our comprehensive Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist will take the guesswork out of what you'll need to finally get your Airbnb off the ground. You'll have the confidence to do that thing you've always wanted to do. Get started today sharing your space and living your dream by visiting our website, thanksforvisiting.me. And that's for F-O-R, and signing up for your free Airbnb Startup Essentials Checklist. Again, this is free, so hurry up and get your copy today. Now on to the episode.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey there, welcome to another ridiculously amazing episode of Thanks for Visiting. I am Sarah Karakayan, one of your hosts.
And I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. Okay, before we jump in today's episode, we have our hashtag STR Share Sunday. Annette, who are we sharing today?
We are sharing Ashley and Philip, and you want to follow them on the gram at Peach State Pad. Again, that's Peach State Pad because they live in Atlanta, Georgia. And Sarah, tell them why they're stars.
Okay, there are many reasons why they're stars. Number one, they have an Instagram, which we think is just really great for your short-term rental. Instagram is still free for all of us to use how we see fit. They've even done an Instagram giveaway to their followers to gain more followers, to get more eyes on their short-term rental. So smart. I also love their copywriting skills on their actual listing. So when you're perusing Airbnb and their listing pops up, they kind of draw you into their listing with their copy. So enjoy coffee from a quaint sitting area on the porch, then sprawl out with a book on a light gray sofa beside a brick-fronted fireplace. I mean, I can picture myself there. And I love that about their copy. And it's not just two-bedroom, four-bath house, right next to the number one place you want to be in my town. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're painting a picture.
And I like immediately following that, though, they give some very specific details. In each room, the lamps on the nightstand feature USB plugs, so your phones will be accessible from bedside. So I like they do imagery, but then they also cut to the chase and let you know what the amenity is that you're really going to be looking for.
Peach State Pad, thank you so much for using our hashtag STR Share Sunday. Listeners, use our hashtag. We're following it. We will share you on the podcast.
Yeah, because we want to share your space so you can live your dream. Plus, we probably want to be friends.
Correct. We want to be friends with all the people. And in our show notes, we are linking to these Airbnbs as well. So as much as we can help you share your space, we're going to do that for
you. Yeah, share the love. Give them a follow. Anybody that uses the hashtag.
All right. We are so pumped for today's show because I feel like the number one thing we get in DMs and emails when we talk about people, we shake their hand, we tell them what we do. It's like, oh my gosh, you're an Airbnb host. Like, what happens if this happens? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, have you ever had like a giant party? Oh my gosh, yada, yada, yada. So I had the pleasure of meeting Jesse Gross, who's the co-founder and CEO at Macomi, which is a short-term rental management company. And they take on management, I mean, anywhere in the US, I'm pretty sure. We'll dive into that with Jesse in a little bit here, but he has so much experience because it's not just, you know, your traditional vacation rental places or just areas like ours in the Midwest in Columbus, Ohio. He's heard it all because he's kind of everywhere. So I was like, we should have the what if episode with Jesse.
Yes, I'm excited too. What if? But what if you make a lot of money and have a lot of fun.
What if you can travel anywhere you want to go because you're making some extra cash on Airbnb?
But we're going to talk about the what ifs that people really want to know about.
Correct. So, yes.
Welcome to the show, Jesse.
Thank you. I'm excited to be on.
All right. So Jesse, I want you to tell our audience who you are, how you got to be running Makomi, and like what you did prior to that. Cause I think your journey to where you are today is super impressive. And I think a lot of our listeners will relate, and maybe even you might give them the kick in the pants they need to do the same thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'll take you, I guess, all the way back to my first job, and kind of walk you up to today and the path I've taken and why I've made some of those choices. But I started in finance, and I kind of did it because I fell into it. And that first job out of school, sometimes you're going to take whoever will pay you. And there are parts of it I love, parts of it I hated, like anyone would expect for a first job. I felt I really didn't love how I was helping big companies, and that was the primary purpose of every day for me. It just didn't align with what I wanted to be doing with my life, who I wanted to be helping. And after a while, I was thinking about it and really trying to think through the direction I wanted my life to go. And after about 6 years of, I guess you would call it like teetering and going back and forth on, am I going to make these choices? Am I not? I kind of finally got up the courage to do it. I don't really remember what the catalyst was. It was a mix of just timing, probably some discussions with family and people I care about. But basically in 1 week, I quit my job, decided I was going to take a completely different path. I sold all my possessions, donated everything that was left to charity, took one backpack, and went traveling around the world for 3 years.
I have to stop you. You got rid of everything, except for what was in that backpack?
Yeah. So I had a tuxedo that my parents were keeping in their garage for the wedding.
It's amazing.
But yeah, everything else I got rid of. Like I didn't have a storage unit. I was traveling with one backpack and really went from needing a lot of things to focusing on the things I actually needed. And I felt like I got so much time back and so much freedom back that I just like, it changed my view on on life, just like letting go of things for a while. So it was kind of extreme. My dad definitely called me and said, what's wrong with you?
Are you okay, son?
Yeah, like what happened? But no, I think that it was more of like, what's right? I was really excited about what I was doing. And I partnered up with two friends when I started traveling and launched this company and said, hey, we're going to find ways to progress our careers while traveling around the world, just with like a laptop and a backpack and working remotely. Who wants to come with? And a bunch of people ended up applying and joining. And we started a company whose job was to help people take their job remotely. We would talk to corporations and help walk through the benefits of it and really advocate on employees' behalfs. Because I saw them stuck in a situation that I was in, kind of just like chained to their desk, not perfectly happy with the world and how things were going and their spot in it. And I wanted to help people. I wanted them to be able to take their job remote because we live in a world where technology enables that. And it's really just tradition and lack of effort that stops a lot of companies from letting people be able to go explore more of the world and continue to do their work just through anywhere with a Wi-Fi connection. So I did that for about 3 years and I absolutely loved it. But after a while doing it, I decided that I wanted to have even more of an impact and help a different group of people. Most of the people I was helping were people who had, you know, a set of skills, whether they're developers, designers, or anything else, that would let them take their job remotely. And that's really limits the amount of people that I could have helped. But I loved the output of it. I loved when I saw people in other countries who had never left the US or assimilating with other cultures and really starting to delve into what makes people tick and the things that are different on other sides of the world. It starts to turn things where when people are different, they naturally are a little scared of each other and it could potentially lead to hatred or misunderstanding. And instead, it leads to greater sense of empathy and understanding. And I think that travel and experiencing other cultures is just something that's really good for our world. So I wanted to have an even bigger impact, have more people do it. And while I was traveling, I definitely had a lot of great experiences that I wanted to, you know, start to accumulate some things and buy some mementos and remember them from. And I had nowhere to ship them. And I said, wait, this stinks. I can't afford a lease and to be traveling. I had to cut down, sell all the possessions and donate stuff away to be able to go and do this in the first place. Wouldn't it be cool if I could have a place back home and be making money on it while I'm going around the world and have it still be mine when I want to come back? And that was really the genesis for the idea of Makomi, was we all should be able to monetize this underutilized asset when we're away, even if our lifestyle or other aspects of our life at the time didn't really allow for it. And it doesn't matter if you don't have a remote job. You should be able to go travel and see someone else and be able to afford to do it by being able to rent your home out. Even if you want to drive 2 hours away to go see a family member you haven't seen for a long time and need gas money. And that's kind of why I made the switch and a year and a half ago launched Makomi, because I didn't just need help with small tasks. I wanted help with the entire process. And so I wanted to help people who were in my spot before, just like I did in my previous company.
You got an like crying over here.
Well, crying because I'm like, I want to do all the things. So where is Makomi based, Jesse?
We're not.
Of course. Why would you have a home base? That's like, you know, 101 question to ask Jesse, and that probably not where you're based.
Yeah. I mean, I fundamentally believe that great work can be done from anywhere, and people are the most productive when they feel inspired. And just because people can't make it into an office because they have other obligations, whether it's kids at home and don't want to afford childcare, or they learn in a certain way where they need to be able to, you know, walk around all day while they talk on the phone. I think that people should be put in a situation where they're doing something for a cause that they want to see succeed. They don't need someone looking over their shoulder. And I believe on our team, we have a bunch of people who are more than brand advocates, but brand zealots, and look at our customers and who we help. And I think that I don't see a reason why we need a headquarters.
No, I love that. One of my favorite mantras for myself, I wrote it on my mirror, it's like everywhere, is you do you. There's so often people try to put you in their box, and then you don't get to be the person that you were meant to be in its best form. So I love that you're really living your beliefs and taking it all the way through every aspect of your business. That's really awesome. Question for you, the name Makomi, what is it about? Where does it come from?
Yeah, the honest answer is we don't have a specific reason why it was named that. We did some client feedback, and a lot of them liked the fact that it was abstract and that we got to create the brand from our actions and not what the name said. And I think that was our first thing, was do we want to go with a name that's really obvious of what we are to everyone? And as a team, we sat down and decided, no, we want to build the name. We want to go with a name that doesn't necessarily mean something, but will one day. And so that was the path that we decided to take. Some of our clients think it sounds like make homey. It's like make something homey, Makomi. But that wasn't the intention, but I'm into it. I think it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. And I feel like it will lend well to our episode, our What If episode here. But talk to us about where you serve. Do you serve literally anywhere? Is it just the US? Who can you help?
Yeah. So right now we help people in Canada, US, Mexico, and in Argentina. And we have more and more people popping up because of our model. We don't really take anything from existing hosts. We help them. So it's more of a partnership than anything. So we're able to pop up in new cities really quickly.
That's so fun. And so we'll, at the end of the episode, listeners, we will dive into how you can get a hold of Jesse if that sounds like something that you need in your life. But let's hop into the What If episode, because I'm assuming because you are located and you work, quote unquote, in so many areas that you've heard it all when it comes to things that can sometimes happen when involved in the sharing economy and you invite people into your home.
Yeah, I would say on top of our business today, currently helping hosts and property managers around the world, I personally lived in hundreds of Airbnbs being a guest when I was traveling. So I think I've seen it from both sides the last 8 years, let's call it.
Can you, and actually this is really good, because right now I think we're a week out or 2 weeks out from the really unfortunate shootings that happened in California at an Airbnb property where, unfortunately, some people died. And you know, that's when, and Annette and I are kind of known as the Airbnb women in our community here. And so that's the first people ask us. It's like, gosh, like, are you worried? Are you scared? You know, and I feel like, and tell me your take on this, Jesse, do you feel like bad press just kind of becomes the focus when it happens? And so it doesn't really get highlighted, all the amazing things that happen more often than not when sharing your home?
100%. But that's press in general. I don't even think it's restricted here. I mean, where people are looking on both sides of this fight, people with vested interests on the hotel side and on all different sides, are looking to highlight areas in the press that are going to make their point. And, you know, when horrible things like that happen that are so tragic, it brings a lot of factors into a play, and people are going to spin it a lot of different ways, not just on Airbnbs, but on a lot of other political issues, whatever side of those they stand on. And I think that we kind of have to be able to take it as, hey, that's the press and it's horrible. There are things like that that happen. There's also things like that that happen at hotels and schools, and we're not going to stop going to school, and we have to go on and live our life. And it is horrible. And there's nothing else I can say besides it's horrible, tragic, and that we're all sending thoughts and prayers to those affected. Separately, in a completely separate issue, I think is the Airbnb part of it. I don't think that that's necessarily related to the shooting, although they're put in the same article. Parties and damage and any other thing you're thinking of in your head could happen. Anything could happen in the world, and that's just the world we live in. But I think that the important part is to be able to think about it logically and not emotionally, and think about it as we are able to do things to help prevent, and we are able to react in certain ways to maximize safety and minimize damage, whether it's something small like a painting breaking or something as tragic and huge like what we just saw happen.
It's such a good reminder, Jesse, because I feel like I don't want fear to stop our listeners from doing that thing that brought them to our podcast, whether they're already in it or they dream about a life hosting or co-hosting or whatever aspect it is of the short-term rental industry they want to get involved in. So let's hop in though. Let's talk about solutions to the what ifs, because I think that's what this is about. Let's be solution focused here so that our listeners can be prepared should they face any of these really quote unquote scary what ifs. And Jesse, you kind of gave us some what ifs, but we can also think of some. Maybe we can all kind of come together and share our thoughts on what if this were to happen. But your first one is really good, and I feel like this is the number one what if question we get asked. Mm-hmm. And it's, what if you get a call from a neighbor and there's a massive party at your short-term rental?
Yeah, obviously this has happened, and we've all heard this question come up before. And I think that there's really two ways to parse this out and cut it. I think there's the what you do, which is actually the question that you asked, like, what if this happens? Then I think there's also things you can do to prevent it from happening or to lower the chances in advance. So maybe we'll split those out differently. When you do hear about that happening and you get a call from your neighbor, the first move is call the cops. You're not the first person to go through this. This is something that has happened at non-Airbnbs before. You don't go to the residence. You don't try and get involved. Don't break it up on your own. You never know what's going to happen. You always have to put safety first. Also, the police report will be a key part of your claims process if anything actually happens or gets damaged, because you're going to want to recoup that from insurance. Whether it's on Airbnb or another platform, there's remedies out there for you. And that's why the most important thing is stay calm, get the authorities involved if there's actually a noise issue. And there's some things you can do for next time too.
This, I'm like dumbfounded right now because I'm thinking of some really bad decisions I've made on getting noise complaints. And I want to share this with my listener or our listeners because I kind of am like breathless right now of things that could have happened. So listeners, I have gotten a couple of noise complaints, and me being who I am, I think I can, you know, take care of it myself. And I've gone to my Airbnbs and just knocked on the doors. I heard the loud music. Clearly the neighbors were correct. There was partying going on. I didn't, and you know, I'm single. I don't, you know, these are late at night. I didn't even tell anybody where I was going. So please don't do what I did. And I just knocked on the door and was confronted with the parties and asked them to stop. And then when they didn't stop, I kind of like stayed near the property and I knew they didn't stop. I went back again. And I'm just thinking that was so idiotic of me because I could have been confronted with a really bad situation and it may have not been the guest that booked. Luckily, it was the lovely female that I thought booked it in this one specific scenario. But Jesse, I guess I've never even thought, I'll be honest, of calling the police first. I've always thought that I need to solve it and take it under, you know, my own care. And so you've kind of just rocked my world. And that was probably the dumbest thing that I could have done. But I hope our listeners learn from that, that don't do what I did. Because now I'm thinking that could have been super dangerous. I don't even know what was behind. Because you can't, my units are in a building and you really can't see in. It's not like there are windows and I could kind of take, or, and there's a huge parking lot. So it's not like I could tell how many cars were actually like there or what was behind that door. So please listen to Jesse, everybody, not me.
It's your job to provide a safe, comfortable environment as a host for the guest to stay in, to provide them with the access to having a comfortable stay that is one that you'd be proud of. And then that's the end in terms of what you can do. They legally need to follow your rules or should be following your rules. And if they do anything so extreme that it breaks the law, like a noise violation or doing something to damage property, then I think that it's no longer in your court. Extreme things do happen, and that's why we have laws. And that's why we have, you know, police officers. They'd rather deal with it themselves and you have you get involved. This isn't like an annoyance to them. This is part of their job because things can escalate and get out of control. So I think we do our job, making sure we're great hosts and people can have an amazing visit. And if someone doesn't come through with their side of the bargain, well, then that's cause to escalate it.
Okay. So for the next time that this inevitably happens, that I get a noise complaint from a neighbor, you know, what are some things that I can do to minimize my chances of having this happen again?
Yeah. So I think that you nailed the key word. It's about minimizing your chances. Because nothing's ever guaranteed or perfect in the world, but you can really do things that lower the chances of this happening to you. For example, guest screening. Some people will create a profile. It will have zero reviews. It will be a profile that, you know, some might even have like a weird picture attached to it or something that looks like might have come up on Google Images. And they kind of just smell weird in terms of this is too new of an account. And things from your gut can just be a little weird. And sometimes you have to ask a few more questions. Hey, did you see the house rules? Just wanted to make sure. And a lot of the times those people end up going away once they realize you're an active host and someone who cares if they are actually doing something bad. Another thing I just mentioned, expectation setting and rules. Some people don't know what they're doing is wrong. And that might be crazy to us, but you don't know if it's their first time ever staying in an Airbnb or if it's they're taking a nap and their friend is doing it. I think that being really, really clear in advance on what the expectations are is something that can really help out.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things that we do and recommend. So anything that's valuable, I would say either store or well document it. Anything that's irreplaceable, definitely store. You have insurance and hopefully you have good insurance, and Airbnb, if you use them, provides a layer of insurance as well. And things that are not going to be replaceable by money, I would say just put them away right away because you don't want to have to deal with that or think about if a family heirloom or anything like that goes away. I also think the last thing I would add is there are some tech options out there. If you just do some Googling around about different advanced sensors, you have a lot of options without naming any brands. You can do some Googling on your own. But there's a lot of things that can give you a heads up before a party's even starting when the noise starts to get louder and anonymize that data so it's actually legal to collect it. So I would say look into it. The biggest thing is communicating well and screening the guest. And then ongoing, you really are going to have the smallest chances of having it happen.
I kind of love what you said earlier that, you know, things that happened, you know, a couple weeks ago as a host, you start getting kind of like, ah, do I have all the things in place to hopefully minimize my chances of this happening? But I love what you said, like, it's not my job to break it up if it does happen. I've done my job providing a safe place for my guests to come to. And then as long as you are following your city rules when it comes to short-term rentals and you are a legal short-term rental and you've done all the things you can do to minimize your chances, if it happens, like Jesse said, I feel like it's just something that can happen. It's part of life. It's just the unexpected. It comes with any territory in business or in life. So just rest assured that you've done everything you can. You're listening to this podcast, you're getting educated, and you're getting ideas from other people and other hosts. So yeah, I mean, Jesse, how have you guys had to deal with a lot of parties in this place, in the places you take care of? Or do you feel like it's still pretty rare for you and your company?
So I think that those are two separate questions. Have I dealt with a lot of parties? Yes. We also help a lot of people. I would say the amount of parties goes down and down and down over time, but the amount that are talked about in the press goes up and up and up.
Sure.
That's mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. So have I seen decreases? Yes. Do I always think it's going to happen? Of course. There's bad actors in the world, mm-hmm. and there are in any business, and it doesn't matter what business you're in. So is it ever going to totally go away? No.
No.
We're more and more prepared all the time, and it's just a cost of doing business. If I own a pizza shop and my oven's not working that day, I'm not doing business that day. And same thing going on with us. Sometimes there's just a cost of doing business, and there are going to be bad actors, and we're going to do our best to weed them out. The more proactive we are as hosts, not letting these bad actors into our ecosystem and making sure that we really elevate all of the good ones. I think that over time, we're going to see it less and less frequently to get to the point where it's a rarity and non-existent.
Okay, so we're going to go on. I think this is a good point to go to our next what if. This is an interesting one. Sarah and I do get this from time to time. So what if, you know, we have people come to us, hey, I've lived in this house for a super long time. I have a ton of stuff. Would anybody even want to stay with me? Like, is my house ready? So what if you've accumulated a ton of stuff, but you still want to open your house up to guests? What are your suggestions there, Jesse?
Yeah. So I think the clear answer is yes. The cool thing about Airbnb and all other short-term rental marketplaces is that people want different things. And that's why they've started to grow and be so successful. And it's not necessarily about creating something cookie cutter. What you have could be really attractive to someone. Most important part is expectation setting. Taking accurate pictures, giving a heads up. These things are there. I'm not putting them away. This is very homey. Using the right words to describe the vibe. I look for things like that when I go and travel. I want a roommate. I want a plants that I have to water. I want people's books and family heirlooms out there because I like to share and live and be part of their lives. And I want to write a nice note in their guest book. Some people don't, and they want more cookie cutter things. That's fine too. And I think the important part is letting the guests know what they're getting into so that they can make that choice for themselves. Your home doesn't have to be perfectly designed by XYZ designer. It just has to be yours and it has to be thoughtful. And I think that those are the most important parts is put yourself in their shoes and say, okay, if I was staying in someone else's home, what would I want? And I think that your things, as long as they're things that can be replaced, if there is a bad actor, can be left out. And if they're not, then be really deliberate about which ones you want to put away. Make sure those are all reflected in your pictures and your profile, etc. Because some people might, you know, love your guitar on the wall and think it's so beautiful and want to play it. And I think that's the most important part is under-promising, over-delivering, and expectation setting clearly, not necessarily conforming your rental to someone else's.
Gosh, I love that so much because I've actually been doing a lot of soul searching with all the businesses that I've created in the past few years and just how much I want the very core of who I am to be in that brand. And I feel like this is a great opportunity for hosts to really treat their listing as their brand and to let their quirks shine through. Be proud of the fun and interesting things about your home. And like Jesse said, don't feel pressure to conform to what you think a quote unquote, you know, short-term rental should look or be or act like. As long as the guests can be safe and expectations are very clearly set, I think that's such a fun thing. And that's why Airbnb has and other home sharing platforms have grown to such successful levels. I mean, yeah.
And I think you'll find too, either two things happen. Either when someone's trying to find a home away from home, they want it to be as close to their home as possible. So they might be extremely comfortable in your home that has a lot of things like theirs. Or two, they want something that is so polar opposite than their day to day. So I think staying authentic to your space will serve both of those audiences mm-hmm. that could potentially stay in your home.
Yeah, 100% agreed. Selfishly, for everyone listening out there, keep your stuff. I want to come visit. I love homey home. So big fit.
I love that. That's so funny because people are like, I don't know that people would want my home. Can you come and make it XYZ? And it's like, no, I love that. There's a different brand of guests. There's a different brand of host. And I think it's so fun that we all get to experience each other's faces and quirks.
I had a host, just to give you a quick story, sorry to interrupt, but thing in Mexico City, and they had literally like an oasis, like a greenhouse in their place. And they clearly set expectations and said, hey, if you're staying there over a week, I'm going to need help watering the plants. And I was so excited to get to go through all the pages of how to water these plants and like learn about them. And it was just part of having an authentic experience for me. One of the things I just can't get at a hotel. And for me, I love that.
That's a great example. So let's say we're at this homey home. This leads us into our next what if. What if I find this homey home, I rent it out, but the way I treat a home is not the same way that you do, and I excessively use amenities or
the
utilities.
I turn the AC on and leave the windows open.
I do everything on the couch very sloppily. Like, what if a guest truly does like go a little overboard
with the amenities and utilities,
treating it too homey? What would you do in this case, Jesse?
Yeah. So first thing I would probably do is like breathe and calm down, because I know it's going to be frustrating because it's one of those really gray areas. I think that the most important thing is to gather a little bit more information and make sure that you can maybe ask some questions, because excessive is like a tough word to define. And if there's damage, of course you have to file a claim to recover that damage. But I think a little more of the gray areas if there isn't damage. Like, hey, my AC bill is going to be double or triple this month because of this guy. And I got to be honest, I think that one's your call as a host and how you want to run your property. The way that we suggest it is that we suggest leaving house rules so that people are responsible with all the utilities as if it were their own home. Most people are actually going to follow that. Most people are good actors. Occasionally, these bad actors are going to come around. But if you have 99 good actors and one bad actor, then it's not going to cripple your property. And I think that going after them is probably a waste of your time, because you don't really have any obvious forms of recovery. And if they don't want to pay, there's probably not going to be much you can do. So what we usually say is, hey, look, shoot them a private note. Obviously, you're not going to want that person to stay again. And if there's anything really excessive, yeah, that's a completely different story. But this is another one of those just like costs of doing business. It's got to just be like priced in when you think about your finances and what it takes to run it successfully. Know that every so often, there's going to be someone who uses your utilities differently than you do. And you can't really lose sleep over it.
I actually have two examples here. One is one of the lofts that I have. I don't have smart thermostats, which that's going to be my number one thing to everybody. If you can get smart thermostats, do that. So you can set the temperature, you know, you can look at what they're doing and then set it, you know, check in and check out. But I've had guests, because of the setup of the lofts, the heat is like extreme. And I'll tell you, I've just kind of had to bite the bullet on some of those really cold winter months. And I've actually helped some guests because they didn't think the heat was working, but it was. We really had to crank it up. But the thing is, where I had to put myself in their shoes, some of my guests are from the specific one I'm thinking of that like really had an issue with like cranking the heat. She was from Southern California. It was like our coldest 2 days in the deep winter here. And I was getting frustrated. I had to check myself. Like, this woman probably thinks she is in the Arctic. Like, I have got to be compassionate here. Like, I actually went and like got more blankets for her. Like, I had to do everything in my power. So it really wasn't even her being excessive. It was me not putting myself in her shoes. Another thing that happens, I want to let hosts that are listening know, I have like traditional cable still, believe that or not. And people order movies and I just, sometimes they ask and I say, just, nah, no big deal. And then sometimes they watch a lot of movies. But either way, I ended up cutting that part off of the cable. You can do that. But I just, like, those are little things that I have seen excessive use. And one, I'm wondering if anybody's had, if anybody has a liquor cabinet that maybe got excessively used. I'd be interested in hearing that story. So any listeners out there, if you have something that's been excessively used, write into Sarah and I and let us know how you handled it.
Jesse, anything, any stories you've heard from the hosts that you help that were particularly interesting or fun?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
What's your most favorite?
Yeah, you gotta give us one.
We've seen 60 people in a one bedroom before.
No. How?
Yeah. Like, and I'm not talking like a clown car, like the people were standing. It was very impressive. We of course took care of it and removed the guests, and luckily there's no damages. And it was New Year's Eve. So I feel like on New Year's Eve, there's definitely a higher incidence potential of parties. And yeah, we've seen that. We've had people leave things behind that you wouldn't even believe, as if it was like their whole life was still behind. Like everything from essential medications that they leave behind and just never come and claim, to like passports that never get claimed.
We need to do a whole left behind. Maybe that's a series. We'll do a left behind. Everyone can DM us their random things. All right. So speaking of excessive use, let's go to one last what if. What if you have the homiest home and the guest does not want to leave? They want to go to the deepest of the excessiveness and they won't leave your property. What in the world will we do then?
Yeah, this is another really tough one, but it's one that I've heard about. We have not yet had it happen, but we do have advisors who have helped us think through these situations. And the right thing to do again is to call the authorities. It's to call the police. There are different regulations in every single state. And you want to make sure that you're not doing anything illegal. And your job is not to be evicting people. There is process for that. We live in a country with laws, and we want to abide by them the best that we can. And when others are not, that's when you get someone else involved, and don't do it yourself.
Honestly, if that were to happen to me, my first thought goes to, oh my gosh, what happens to my next guest? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like absolutely I call the cops, I get my lawyer on the phone and like get that started. And then I would go into problem solving mode of, I've got a guest checking in at 3. Where can I put that poor person who now doesn't have a place to stay? So
100%, that's the right thing to do. Move on.
You got to move on. Get solution-based. Milk.
Yep. Solution, solution, solution. And not everything is on you. There's authorities for a reason. You should be thinking about that next guest and how you can make their lives better, because this problem is happening either way. Luckily,
that's right.
That's something that even after our thousands and thousands of hosts that we've helped and stuff, we have not had happen, but it definitely could. So be prepared for that like anything else.
Jesse, you've been simply amazing. Okay, so let's do this. If we have listeners who are like, you know what, the more I listen to Sarah Danette, the more I'm like, I want to share my home, or I want to have an Airbnb, but I just have parts of it that I can't quite do on my own. How, if people want you to help them host, what should they do?
Yeah. You can either find us on our website at makomi.com, makomi.com, or email me directly. We like a really local approach to what we do. I'm always available, and you can email me, ask your questions, and I can get you in touch with the right person on our team, or help myself if I can. And I'm Jesse, Jesse, at makomi.com.
I can't thank you enough for your time today, Jesse. I know that our listeners are going to feel armed and ready to conquer and face anything that should come their way in their hosting journey. So thank you so much for your time. And listeners, I'm Sarah.
I'm Annette.
And we are
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.